I'm Madeline Walter.
And I'm Ben Axelrad, and we're both hypochondriacs.
I think I'm sick when I'm not.
Anytime I'm sick, I think I'm a goner for sure.
Welcome to Definitely Dying, the podcast about health concerns, both real and imagined.
Because it's better to laugh about it together than cry about it alone.
I have a runny nose and an ingrown hair, and
my knee hurts.
My arm is kind of rash.
Is that a rash?
And I had Asian food, and that makes me
What's
feel kind of sick. I might be lactose intolerant.
Guys, we have an awesome guest for you today. Her name is Lauren McGuire. She's a super funny comedy writer. She's worked on IFC's Comedy Bang Bang, Fox's Party Over Here. She's just about to start writing on TBS's Wrecked. And you can also just see her all around the UCB Theater. She was a writer on the Mod Night supergroup New Money. And we're a big fan of hers, Lauren McGuire.
Nice. You want to do one where you don't? Where you don't start with the Lauren McGuire part?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Guys, we have an awesome guest for you today. She's a super funny comedy writer. She has written on IFC's Comedy Bang Bang, on Fox's sketch show Party Over Here, and on TBS's Wrecked. She's also all around the UCB Theater. She's a writer for the awesome Mod Night super team New Money. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Lauren McGuire. Lauren, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. What a delight it is to spend my day with you.
Thank you. And we're going to spend whole day together. After we leave, we're going to make Lauren.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Join us.
Come run some errands with me. I got to go buy a thumb drive.
Great.
Yeah, great.
Okay.
Me, I'm just going to spend all day thinking about sickness and death.
That's healthy.
So, Lauren, we like to kick this thing off with the same question for our guests each time. Mm-hmm. So we've actually given it the slightest little bit of a tweak. But on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you think about death?
I guess I'd say about a 5, because part of me wants to think about it all the time, but I really suppress it hard.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
Because like, you would spiral?
Yeah, it's in a very uncomfortable topic, and I haven't had to deal with it a lot, because pretty much not very many people I know have died other than my, like, very, very, very old 100-year-old grandpa.
Right, right.
Mm. So I've never had, like, the idea of having a loss that someone's there and then suddenly isn't there seems so scary that I don't want to ever think about it.
Yeah.
But then I know when it happens it's going to be rough.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's not easy.
But I do, I would say in my subconscious life, I think about it all the time because I'm constantly dreaming about death, dying, someone dying, me dying.
Wow.
I killed somebody. I buried them somewhere. I got to go dig them up.
No.
All kinds of stuff.
You have a lot of death dreams.
Yeah,
definitely.
Digging
people
up.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I very rare. I always have mundane stress. Mm-hmm. Like I have dreams about sleeping through my alarm. That's my most recurring.
Mm-hmm.
You have no dreams?
I mean, I probably do, but I smoke a lot of weed before I go to bed, and that pretty much
eliminates all the dreams. Yeah.
It has an effect on your REM cycle, I know.
Yes. Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, I don't want a dream. Nothing good happens. I always have recurring dreams.
A dream is the saddest thing.
My dream is like I will have a dream. It's almost always that someone's trying to kill my brother, and then I will go back to sleep, and they'll be trying to kill my brother again. It's almost always killing my brother. Because I think I'm the older one, and
yeah,
I always felt like a protective.
Yeah.
I have a reoccurring one, and I looked it up. So I'm not insane. This happens to a lot of people, but it's going to sound crazy.
Yeah, oh,
great.
I can't wait.
Love it.
It's that I've killed someone, but it's a long time ago. It's usually my neighbor, and I've buried them in their own front porch.
Oh,
and now the cops are starting to come around. This is years later, and they're getting a whiff that I did it. It's a super common dream that other people have. I'm not like killing the person in my dream,
but
I'm dealing with the consequences of having guilt about killed someone.
Right.
What is it supposed to mean?
Some people say it's about like, ooh, hidden secrets.
Oh.
Yeah.
And, which I don't really feel like I have any hidden secrets, but, you know, or like guilt or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I think we are the hidden secret. I think that's always what's going on is that we think we're going to be caught. We're going to be caught in the lie that is our lives, that is our self, that is like this very notion of who we claim to be.
That's what
you're a killer.
That's what it feels like. Is like I'm not who I've been saying I am this whole time. Right. I'm actually a killer.
I'm like a fraud. Right, right, right. I'm masquerading as like a regular person, but really I'm a murderer.
Yeah.
Okay. So you think about death. You suppress your thoughts about death.
Yes.
You have a lot of death dreams. Would you say you're a hypochondriac?
Yeah, to some degree.
I
don't know. I don't know if it's any more than other people, though. That's a hard thing.
Well, how often do you think you're sick, or think you might?
I guess
how often do you worry about your physical
well-being?
It's not
that I think that I'm sick or dying, because I just assume I'll live forever. but I, it's more like. Just generally thinking something's wrong with me. Have you ever I don't know if you Madeline, have been a teenage girl before.
Yes.
But just like looking in the mirror.
Yep.
And looking at yourself and being like, something's not right about my face and my body. Something isn't right. I don't know what it is. And now that Google exists, I'll Google like all kinds of syndromes that I think that I have that affect my face or my body, which I have fine. My face is fine. I know that.
Yeah.
My face is fine.
You've got a lovely face. There's nothing wrong with it.
But I think when you're like very fixated on it, when you're young and you just really think like, well, I have, you know, some chromosomes weird or something.
So did you specifically when you were young, did you think something like what is something you remember thinking you had like?
I Googled all kinds of stuff like Marfan syndrome, the thing that Abe Lincoln had where he had really long arms.
Yeah.
I thought I had really long
arms.
You had Abe Lincoln arms.
Did you have gangly arms?
Yeah, okay. But that's because I was a teenager.
Right,
yeah,
a kid,
like, that
right,
was
yeah.
normal. Growing, yeah.
But I was like, I've got whatever Abe Lincoln had, and I know it. I know I do. I saw in a history book that he had like some kind of chromosomal variant.
Yeah,
that made him basically
look like Jack Skellington.
Because he was very tall for his time, right?
Yeah,
like,
and
that's,
I think
like, he was sort of had giantism.
I was very tall too for my age at my time in school. So I just thought like I kind of towered over everybody. And I was like, when I get old, that's what I'm going to look like.
Yeah, Abe Lincoln.
That is so sweet. That's like such a heartbreaking, sweet way to like deal with like just like feeling awkward in your own body like during puberty is being like, this has got to be a disease.
Yeah, that is what it felt like.
So where did you grow up?
In Florida.
Okay.
How's
Florida for hypochondriacs?
Like? Yeah. Not great, because I would say that Florida is the birthplace of all the worst diseases.
Like what?
It's just like,
started in Florida.
Encephalitis. You remember that in the 90s?
Sure.
Encephalitis.
Yes.
Now it's Zika.
That's where your brain, encephalitis is where your brain swells right?
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, and that was like that. Everybody was so afraid of that.
How do you get encephalitis?
Mosquitoes.
Oh, right. It was
everything
another
is
mosquito.
From mosquitoes.
Everything's from mosquitoes, and there are so many mosquitoes there.
Yeah.
But other stuff too, like you go swimming in a creek or whatever, and next thing you know, you got a parasite up your butt. It's a swamp. It's a swamp with breeding ground for all kinds of horrible things.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, I would say that the doctors of Florida. Leave room for improvement.
Yeah. Do you have any personal story
about
that?
They're all bad?
No. Of course, they're not all bad. But I think that the bar to be a doctor in Florida is much lower than it is anywhere else.
Well, that's a great piece of information. If anybody's a little lazy but wants to be a doctor and go to Disney World a bunch.
Right.
Don't recommend that dummies become doctors in Florida.
Any dummies out there?
I'm trying to warn people in Florida that your doctors are bad.
Right, yeah. No, in our last episode, we did a quiz about medical tourism, like people traveling to places to get surgeries and stuff. Apparently, don't go to Florida for your medical tourism.
No. No. They do all that kinds of stuff there. All those people who get like cement injected into their face.
Wait,
they all get
that's a thing?
Yeah, or their butt or their boobs. They get it done like at home. Plastic surgery is done a lot in like Miami.
Whoa, I never even heard of at home plastic surgery. Self-plastic surgery.
My future mother-in-law she's Russian, and she just had like a Russian friend that was like giving Botox injections to her in her kitchen.
No.
Whoa.
Yeah, just crazy stuff.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And her daughter had to be like, you can't do that.
No, you could. It's so easy to die or yeah. paralyze your whole face.
Right, right.
That's so. Have you ever gotten Botox?
No.
No, neither have I. But I feel like it's not, like kind
it's
of.
It's inevitable.
More normal.
Even
than,
at this age?
Yes.
Really?
I've run into people. Well, I went to the dermatologist and I was like, I like my face. I feel good about it. And I was like asking him. I have like.
Well, okay. Yeah. All right. Let's give you a round of
applause.
I'm
so confident. I'm just really body confident. But like I have just like a few. I have like lines in my forehead. And I was trying to ask him like if there was a way he recommended to like protect the skin there better. Or like, you right. know, moisturize it better. Because I just like don't take care. Like, I haven't done a lot of like skin care in my life. But he thought I was asking him, like, about Botox.
Mm-hmm.
And it really caught me off guard that I was like, yeah, I don't know. It's like, what should I be doing? He was I like, bet, you don't need Botox.
I bet he gets yeah. a lot of ladies or gentlemen yeah. in there going, well, you know, like yeah. very shyly and demurely yes. asking about Botox without yeah. without wanting to actually ask it. Yes. So I get that. Yeah. He's probably like, oh, here's another one.
He's probably like, yeah, no, you don't need it. Yeah. But I was like, what?
Botox no. is fat from your butt, right?
No.
What's
it
the
is
thing
botulism. That's botulism.
Oh. What's the thing that's fat from your butt?
That's just fat from your
it's
butt.
Just fat
that they
from
put
your
into your something in the other parts of you, though.
That's just taking fat from your butt.
I don't know.
There's I think
probably
it's like
a
an
name
injection?
For it, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe that's – is that what they do – anyway, let's go on.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. If you know, if anybody out there knows, just
I don't have any fat in my ass to spare because I have – that's another thing that I was very insecure about in high school is I have a very small butt.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't matter how much weight I gain. None of that weight goes to my butt. Ah. I have a little flat little butt. And, you know, Abraham Lincoln, if you look at him – he also has a...
Wait, a, really?
No, I don't know. Yeah. I've never seen Abraham Lincoln's butt, but
he's
I bet
really
he did.
Just bones.
Rock yeah. hard, baby. Rock hard.
I wonder what Abraham Lincoln's butt... Yeah, I bet it was just really flat and bony.
He had a bony butt for sure. Yeah. He can't sit in any laps.
No. Oh, no. Too tall. He had a bony butt. So you grew up in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So you had mentioned before that when you were a kid, did you get sick a lot or?
I had anxiety disorder even as a young kid, and it manifested by me being like tired a lot of the time, and I started losing my hair and stuff like that.
Oh, wow!
And
how old were you?
Kindergarten, very young, very very young. And my parents were going through a divorce, so I just like didn't know how to. I didn't know how to communicate my feelings or whatever, so I yes. kind of shut down.
Sure.
And so my parents thought I was sick, so I went to like a million allergy specialists. And this is the part about the bad Florida doctors. I went to doctors who just, while I was still in the room mm-hmm. with my mom, were like, oh, yeah, she's, yeah, we don't know how long she's going to live. Like, just
whoa.
People like,
whoa.
Like people who speculated that I was like dying, which I was
while
fine.
You were sitting right there?
Oh, yeah.
And then did that make you think you were dying?
I think my mom was cool enough to just like she just got up and left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And was like, don't listen to him.
She knew Florida doctors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So how long did that go? Like, how long did it go undiagnosed that you were like trying to figure out what, like, why you had all these symptoms?
So my mom took me to like two doctors, and one of the ones was like, he was like, she's gonna lose her hair forever, and she's maybe has cancer, and all, you know, like that kind of stuff. And so then she took me to another doctor, a third one. Who said, hey, is there anything going on in your home life?
Right.
And she was like, yeah, but she didn't put the two and two together. And so I went to a psychiatrist and then was, you know, treated that way.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's crazy yeah. that it took three doctors for yeah. someone to ask that question.
Yes.
It's crazy that someone leapt to cancer
right. mm-hmm.
before they were like, hey, what's your life look like?
Right.
That's
I think
so
that's
nuts.
Pretty common. I mean, I think that's one of the issues that, regardless of Florida, I think it's one of the issues that yeah. we have with our doctors is that they want their specialty to be right, you know?
Yeah, like
they don't
trained,
go everywhere.
They're
yeah.
trained to look at it from that lens, mm-hmm. and yeah. they can't see it yeah. from any other lens. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Your parents' divorce doesn't come up on any of these CAT scans or tests. Or,
yeah, they don't have a box to check for that.
Which is crazy because I feel like anxiety has so many physical repercussions.
Sure.
Yeah.
So do you still deal with anxiety issues today?
Oh, yeah, for sure. But I take medication for it, so it's a lot better. But I also see a cognitive behavioral therapist who helps a lot with the actual symptoms of, like, having panic attacks and all that. So that helps a lot. I would recommend it to anybody out there who's having panic attacks. Get yourself a cognitive behavioral therapist.
So what do panic attacks how do they manifest themselves in you?
The first one I ever had was in elementary school on the bus, just sitting on the bus.
Yeah.
All of a sudden I could feel myself start breathing really hard and my hands went completely numb.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't know what the hell it was. I didn't even have the concept of what it could be. And I went to the nurse's office and I was fine after 10 minutes, but I still went home cause I was like, I'm dying.
Yeah.
Also, school sucks.
Yeah. Also,
yes, school sucks.
We go home. We find a way to go home.
And then I didn't have another one until high school, and I was asleep beforehand, and I woke up having one.
Oh, wow.
And I was screaming because I thought I was having a heart attack.
Yeah.
And my mom, being a diligent mom, took me into a heart doctor because that's what she also thought. Nobody realized that there was a panic attack or anything. So I got an EKG. I got all the shit done.
Holy
I got all the heart listening, and my heart was perfectly fine. No murmurs, no nothing.
Yeah.
It wasn't until later we kind of figured out what it was.
Yeah,
that's why. Because I feel like also when we were kids, it was like just before people really like panic attacks and even like generalized anxiety were like diagnosable or like often diagnosable things. Like it feels like we were just before.
Yeah, my sister, I have a 16-year-old sister who's going through a lot of the same kind of stuff I went through. I think she's like genetically very similar to me.
Yes.
And like emotionally similar to me. So I think watching her go through it is so different because from day one, everyone's been like, she has anxiety. You know, like, nobody knew what it was back then. But now it's great for her because she's been seeing like specialists since she was tiny.
Oh, yeah. That's great. Mm-hmm. That's great.
So how was high school for you then?
You know, terrible.
Because of the anxiety or just for all the reasons?
It's because of the anxiety, mostly, I'd say. It's because I always only had like two or three friends at a time because I was so anxious about talking to other people.
Sure.
I put so much stress on myself about schoolwork, which now that I'm an adult and I look back and I'm like, that was bullshit.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Right. Yeah, I feel the same way. I spent so much time doing homework.
I was such
homework.
A good student and I wish that I hadn't been. Is that weird? Is that weird? I wish I had been a worse student and more fun.
I do. I feel the same exact way. I spent so much time doing work that objectively is irrelevant.
Yeah. I was so kind of like a goody-goody because I was very afraid of any repercussions and very anxious about being yelled at or reprimanded or anything.
Yes.
And actually when I got older and started like dating boys and stuff, that it also manifested in that way where even if we had not had sex, even if it was just like I touched a penis with my hand, I would be convinced I was pregnant.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And this I've also heard is common with young people with anxiety or young women with anxiety that it's one of the ways it manifests is that you're just like, well, I'm pregnant.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
my life is ruined.
Seemingly all worst case scenarios.
Right.
Your
exactly.
brain is going to go to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you mentioned having a panic attack while you were asleep. How in general has anxiety affected your sleep? How is your sleep in general?
My sleep is a lot.
Yeah, you sleep, but you
I do. I was diagnosed with narcolepsy in like 2007 or something.
That's crazy. I have never heard of someone actually.
I know.
It feels like a joke. I mean, not
it,
like
it,
a,
yeah.
but like
it is the funniest disorder you can have.
Yeah, it feels like this. Like you see cartoons all the time where like a guy like falls asleep while he's at his construction job and walks across all the scaffolding.
Yeah, and Deuce Bigelow, male gigolo. Remember
was
that scene
narcolepsy?
Where she? No, he dates that woman who keeps falling asleep, and so she ties her hair back so that her head doesn't fall in the soup.
That was,
I don't know if
I think that was somebody
Deuce
famous. Was that who plays that role?
I don't remember.
I want to. I don't know. I want to say that was Amy Poehler.
I know she was blonde.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
I don't remember. That.
Might have been. I don't know if that's accurate. It might have been. Amy Poehler, if you're out there, tweet at us.
yeah.
No, but yeah, we'll.
Were you in Deuce Bigelow? There's no other way for us to find out. Yeah. We could never. We could never know any other
we
way.
We save our Google for symptoms. But yeah, so how so you fall asleep randomly. That's what narcolepsy is?
No, it's actually not that exactly. What that is called is cataplexy.
Oh, and you, good to know.
You can have cataplexy comes along with narcolepsy, but you don't have to have that in order to be diagnosed with narcolepsy. What narcolepsy is you're in your REM, in your sleep cycle, you go through all those different cycles of sleep. You go through stage 1 through 4 and then REM sleep. And it's supposed to be pretty consistent throughout the night, of pretty balanced of what you get. But I go into REM sleep immediately and I stay in it all night. So I don't get any other stages of sleep. And what's happening in your REM sleep is that your body is completely paralyzed and fully rested, but your brain is as active as if you were awake.
Whoa.
So when I wake up, I'm mentally exhausted.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yes.
That sounds terrible. Yeah.
It can be. It can be cool sometimes if I'm being I'm being honest, like, because I can lucid dream.
Okay.
Oh, so you can like dream when – and lucid was when you can control your dreams?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can lucid dream. I have a great, long, amazing sex dreams.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. Nice. So those are benefits.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, no, those are really good. Yeah.
But then, you know, there's also the terrible parts of it, which are like horrifying dreams that you can't escape. And just being so tired when you wake up because, like, it's like, well, I was being chased by a monster all night.
Right, yeah. All night. So how easy is it to wake you?
It's I can sleep through almost anything. And it's very difficult if you catch me at the wrong moment, wrong stage of sleep, and you try to wake me up. I can't even understand what's going on.
Right. Okay.
So I do set probably 8 alarms. Every night.
How much sleep do you have? Does this make you need more sleep than normal because your sleep is less restful?
Yeah, I get tired and I want to take naps all the time, so I have to like limit myself to 1 per day. Or none if I'm working.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's manageable. Like, it sounds when I'm just – I'm hearing myself describe it sounds really bad, but it's not – like, it's manageable, and I just make sure if I'm working that I, like, go to bed at 10 and wake up. But it's kind of a crapshoot as to the quality I'm going to get of sleep that night, because I could lay down for 10 hours but really only feel like I got 2 hours of sleep.
That's so interesting, because I always thought – is what the REM sleep or the, I always thought that was the most restful sleep. Like
it is for your body.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
This is also why I would say I'm not sick a lot.
Oh, because you get the deepest kind of sleep,
deepest
like the recovering
sleep.
Kind of sleep.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Wow. If you're like, you're like the diving bell and the butterfly. When you sleep. That's like, which again sounds like a horrible nightmare. But
yeah, I'm not trying.
Yeah.
It is a horrible nightmare. I mean, it was a nice story.
But. Do you ever get ideas? Do you ever like.
Oh, I get ideas all the time that I think are genius, and then you wake up and you're like, that's absolute nonsense. Or I'll write down. You know, I can't think. I have a notebook.
Of sleep thoughts you've had?
I do, but I didn't bring it with me. I regret that. Next time,
take a pic. You can snap a pic of a good page and send it to us. And we'll post it when you.
Great.
Yeah.
So with the naps, if you don't set alarms, would you just sleep like 10 straight hours?
I'd say more like 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I do that too. I mean, how are you with naps, Madeline?
I'm a pretty good napper. I don't nap a lot. But if I take a nap, if I hit one of those afternoons where I'm like, I can't keep my eyes open, I can like go to sleep for 20 minutes and I'm cool. But like in college, I used to nap. I'm putting air quotes around nap because I would just be like in the library forever and ever. And then I would just get so tired I couldn't keep my eyes open. So I'd put my face down on a book and then just like set an alarm for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then be jolted awake by my alarm and then like just keep on.
Damn, you sound
working.
Like a college party animal.
Yeah. Oh, I was such a party animal. One night I fell asleep in a book and my alarm didn't wake me up and the library closed.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like I remember like being in the, like, security had to come and wake me up.
Oh, that is, I in college I was a lifeguard. This is one of the incidences that made me go to a sleep doctor, is I was a lifeguard, which it's a very small school, and the job was nothing. Nobody except other college students were ever in the pool. Right. And it was winter, and the pool's not heated, so nobody was there. But my job was to lay out there anyway, and I laid out there, and I fully fell asleep, and then at, like, they locked up. They locked up the whole gym.
What?
And I had to call the like police to let me out.
Oh.
Because you and wait, I love that so few people came to the pool that they didn't notice.
No, they didn't know.
Fully asleep lifeguard.
No. It did not notice, and I didn't want to tell anybody because I couldn't call my boss and tell him because I was like, then I have to admit that I just slept for five hours in a lawn chair.
Yeah. When I take naps, like if I don't do something about it, I will sleep so long that I don't know if it's the next day or not.
Oh,
like
wow.
I would take, like if I went to sleep around 3 or 4 and I didn't stop myself, I would wake up probably like 10 or 11 at night, and
be
I would
very
know,
confused.
And I would be very confused.
That happens.
Sounds
to
like
me
that's
too,
yeah.
Even if you've gotten a full night's sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If I need a nap, then like I need a nap, and if I don't need a nap, last thing on my mind. For me personally.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's the other thing, too, is that I like them.
Yeah.
That's the hard part. So, like, even if I know I can power through a day, I'm just the lure of a nap. Yeah.
I like naps, but I don't let myself do hardly anything I like.
Mm-hmm. That's
honestly,
what kind
like,
of person
I
you
like,
are.
I know. I, like, I'm really not trying to enjoy my life. I, like, truly have to. I could take a nap every day if, like, I have the time. It's not, like, you know, like, I like work myself into a frenzy of feeling like I'm so busy and there's so much that I wanted to get done, but I could certainly nap for 30 minutes a day.
A 30 minute nap to me is nothing. I'd rather not do it.
I think I like a 30 minute
power nap.
I could get down with a power nap.
If I take a nap when I wake up, day's starting over. Like I have to take a shower or I don't feel right. Like I have to eat a meal. Like it's like I basically have to eat a new breakfast. I start over. It's just, I call it new Tuesday.
Second chance at a Tuesday.
Exactly. Yeah. Second chance Tuesdays. If I don't take advantage of them, I could use a third chance, but definitely.
Do you wake up slowly? Like, is it hard for you to wake up, like to feel awake after sleep?
No, I wake up, I'm up.
Yeah.
Oh, here's the other good thing about narcolepsy. Traveling to places where you have a time change doesn't fucking matter.
Oh.
Doesn't matter. I can sleep whatever bedtime they say is bedtime, I can go to sleep.
That's great. Yeah. Do you sleep on – how do you sleep on planes? Can you fall
terribly,
right asleep?
Oh, terribly.
Really?
Yeah.
Because the narcolepsy doesn't transfer over?
No, it's just I'm – like I can't sleep unless I'm physically comfortable.
Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I like the idea that you have a narcoleptic episode and you just fly back and forth across the country multiple times and just leave you there.
Oh, shit, I'm back in LA.
That was a weird narcoleptic trip.
You just spent a week bouncing back and forth in a plane.
Just calling your lifeguard boss. Get me off this plane.
So then other than narcolepsy, have you had any other like major health issues or like visits to the hospital?
I had my first surgery was the very first time I went to the gynecologist when I was 19. She looked right in there and she said, "Hey, I see something."
Oh, whoa. No.
She yelled in your vagina.
Yeah, she did. And then, hey, come on. It's not echoey in there.
And as I was saying it, I was like, "Oh, that's the wrong time to make that joke."
You think Lauren has a cavern of a vagina?
I just wait. It's like it's our nature.
We never mention. Lauren does not have any inner organs. Her vagina just opens up to a fully hollow body.
I'm like a cooked turkey. Can yell right in there. The thing that I had, it was called endometriosis.
Oh, yeah, that's a – I've heard of – that's like a – I don't know why I'm going to – I was going to guess
my
memory of it.
Okay. No, please. This is fun.
I've heard of it, too.
It's something with your uterine lining?
Yes.
It's when it's it's your uterine lining's bad. It's sheds naughty. Too much. It's when your uterine lining is when it's nasty.
Like your uterine lining is
nasty as hell.
It's just like a real bad girl.
Yeah. It's a real nasty uterine lining. It's
she drinks box wine. Everybody has endometrial lining, and it's what you shed when you have your period.
Yes.
And my old gal, for whatever reason, it's difficult to explain because it's autoimmune. So the thing that stops those cells from developing everywhere, it doesn't occur. It doesn't, like, I don't have the little gene that stops it from occurring. So basically I have endometrial tissue all over the inside of my uterus rather than just in those that one place.
The periods in the period spot or in the pussy spot where it's supposed to be.
In the pussy spot. No, I have it around my ovaries, which you shouldn't have it. Okay. I have it all throughout my uterus, which it should only be kind of in one area.
Okay.
All of it sheds every time I have a period.
So is that a huge period then?
Yeah, another issue I had to deal with when I was a teenager that I didn't understand, which was that all my friends had cute little periods, and mine were I had to miss 2 days of school, and were like, they were horrible. They were like 9 or 10 days long, awful.
Gosh.
Awful.
Whoa.
Awful.
So how long is the terrible. Average is 6 days? Is that how long they usually
are? Like five, I'd say.
I feel like it's like 3 big days and then like a ramp up and a cool down.
Three days.
Like a denouement?
I mean, it's like parabolic. It starts little, gets big, and then ends little again. Because basically you're just dumping a bunch of blood out your uterus. So it's like,
Let me try.
And I had these terrible periods when I was in high school, but I didn't realize that that's something you go to the gynecologist for. Because I was like, if you go to the gynecologist, it's because you're having sex.
Yeah.
Oh, and because I'm not having sex, I don't need to go.
Yes.
Which is not true. Yes. If you're having bad periods, any children that are listening, I'm sure you have a huge child audience.
We got a bunch of kids who listen to this.
We got a heavy flow audience.
But you should, if that is happening, you got to go to the gynecologist.
Wait,
even
it's
if
funny
you're not
because
sex.
You thought your long arms were a medical condition, but your tremendously painful and heavy periods, you were like, this certainly is normal.
Just thought it was, that's how it is.
Well, because also having your period is kind of weird and scary, and it's like, who's to say that that's not the way it is for everybody?
Right. And you don't want to talk about it to anybody, ask your friends.
No, you don't want to be like,
how heavy is your flow, Diane?
Why? I wish our period started when we were 30 and just didn't give a fuck anymore. I feel like I love talking about different periods now.
So that was the first time I went, and I was already nervous, and she was like, you got something. Oh, and she already... I should mention, I'm a naive person. I've always been, and so it didn't rub me the wrong way at all. The fact that her practice was in a house, and that she did not have shoes on.
No,
when
this
she
was a Florida
examined
doctor,
me.
A Florida gynecologist.
Yes, it was. She did not have shoes on when she was looking into my vagina. She had taken her shoes off.
Did she have an office in her house, or could you see
she had
parts
an office,
of her home?
You could see parts of her home.
That's not appropriate.
I know.
She's not a piano teacher.
Yeah.
is exactly what it was set up like.
Right.
That's insane.
But I didn't know.
You hear about that occasionally with a psychologist or something,
right.
But not for a
medical doctor.
Yeah, not for somebody who's – I don't even know if you hear about that with psychologists. I just remember that Alan Thicke's character on the Growing Pains had his medical – or his psychology practice out of his home.
Yeah.
That might not even have been a real thing.
No, people do.
Yeah. And I think a lot of TV psychologists have their practice in their home because it makes them easier for them to get murdered or whatever needs to happen to them in the TV show.
God, Alan Thicke.
But
start
it
my heart.
Yeah, that is normal, I think. Mm-hmm. You had to have a surgery for your endometriosis?
I did, and she really pushed it, and she really one wasn't the right lady I should have gotten this done from, this no-shoe lady.
No.
But it all, in the end, it turned out okay. She did the surgery, and it cleared, you basically burn away all the scar tissue and all the endometrial tissue.
Oh.
And it continues to grow in me, but the way you can do to stop it is to suppress it from growing way further is have as few periods as possible, which means I take that birth control. I only have it every 3 months.
Yeah, yes.
So I have totally normal periods now. Yeah. Everything's A-okay. But
And that no-shoe lady burned your...
The no-shoe lady, I think her practice ended up closing down.
Florida will never be the same.
I know. Yeah, what a weird lady. And I also remember her, because she was trying to explain to me what it was, what endometriosis was. And she just grabbed a bunch of photos of, like surgery photos of people, like the little camera that's inside the person's ovaries or uterus.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she was just handing me these photos with people's names on
them. That's not allowed either.
And just handing me them and being like, see here, the burns or whatever. Like, this is what you have, this kind of scar tissue. And I was like, something seems weird about this. But, you know,
she's
I was 19, I didn't.
Everybody
I'm sure she showed,
uterus.
She probably showed people my uterus.
Yeah, probably did.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes. So have you had other surgeries besides that?
I did. I had a jaw surgery because I had really bad TMJ. that was a doozy.
Yeah.
That was a doozy of a surgery. My lower jaw was kind of just too short, too small.
Okay.
And it was misaligned. So every time I opened my mouth, you would hear kak, kak, like two from it.
Yeah.
It didn't hurt.
Yeah.
It didn't hurt.
Right.
So, but it was terrifying to everyone.
So all the time whenever you – so chewing, would it be like pop, pop?
If I opened it a little bit wider than chewing.
Cool.
So,
you didn't
chew
like an animal.
but it did – I could feel it like shifting around when I chewed and stuff. It was not – you know, not pleasant.
No.
So I went in – and the surgery is basically they saw your jaw and they put in these two metal rods to like lengthen it. And you spend like 6 months recover because you basically have to have your jaw wired shut.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And
how old are you when you got it?
For this, I did it over a summer, so I think I was like 19 or 20.
Okay.
So this is right around the same time that you had that other surgery.
Yeah, I had that one, and then I had, and then I found out. I know, I just got them all in early. I wish I had waited until I came to any other state. But so they did that surgery. Your face is puffed up real crazy big. And they were, you know, they did the follow-up to see what was going on. And one side was still way bigger than the other. And, you know, he did another x-ray, and he was like, hey, listen, we kind of fucked up, and one of them, it's misaligned again. We made one side longer than the other.
Wow.
And your options are that you can wear braces for 3 more years, or you can let me do the surgery again.
And for free, right?
For free.
Yeah, okay.
And I was like, ah, fuck, well, do it again.
Yeah, do it again.
So I did it again, and this is where it gets really fucked up. Because after they do the surgery, the first time they give you antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like however long, a month long of antibiotics. And then the second time they did it, they also just like – it's like an automated system. It just automatically prescribes me another month worth of antibiotics.
I already know where this is going. This
right. Yeah. So I thought that I would – because they always say take all the antibiotics you're given.
Yeah.
If you stop taking them early, you could get an infection.
Yes.
So I took all of them. And slowly but surely – my butt.
Oh, I didn't know this was going. I didn't know what part we were going to. That wasn't where I expected.
My butt became
tiny
explosive.
Oh, yeah.
Tiny little explosive butt.
What happened is that I killed all the bacteria in my gut of one type.
Oh.
And so then other bacteria take over and it creates something called C. diff and you shit blood. And I was just shitting blood. I mean, I can't sugarcoat it.
Yeah,
that's what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
So here I am with my jaw wired shut. I can, anytime I eat anything, it has to be through a damn straw.
Right.
Oh, so you're already setting yourself up for some
plus
diarrhea.
I was losing weight like crazy and not meaning to, you know, I was down to like 100 pounds.
Oh,
and then this on top of it. And I told I was, you know, too embarrassed to tell anybody for like, well, maybe a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then I finally told my mom and she called my doctor and my doctor was like, get her in right
oh,
now,
no.
immediately.
Sure.
Because if I didn't correct that situation, it could have become permanent and I would be sitting here today having just shit a bunch of blood.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
I like that you're still doing the podcast.
No. Nothing could stop me, not even shitting blood.
Me neither.
I feel like it's so, like, it's so crazy how many close calls there are, like, of if you just continued
right.
to be embarrassed enough to not you specifically, right. but just in general, I feel like so much
it happens
of, like,
a lot with intestinal stuff because yeah. people are too embarrassed to say yeah. they haven't pooped in a week or whatever.
Yeah.
That they will just die.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, in your head, like, if someone was to say to you, like, is this worth dying over, then you yeah. would obviously answer no. But there are so many things that we just would never tell anyone.
Right.
And then we would just die. Like, yeah. we wouldn't consciously choose to die. We yeah. would just die.
That experience made me so, – I'm so not shy about talking about butt stuff yeah. with doctors.
Yeah.
Because I've already had the worst possible yeah. thing happen that could ever happen. They had to, I had to poop in a little tube.
For how long? Just like one time so they could test it?
Just one time okay. so they could test it. But
it wasn't, like, that wasn't your new toilet. Like,
after you poop in a tube.
After you poop in yeah. a tube, you're done.
Yeah.
You're cooked.
Yeah.
You're not going to be embarrassed of anything anymore.
No.
There's
good.
Very little that can embarrass me.
Yes. Now. That's great. So honestly, it was a blessing.
Yeah.
yeah. God yeah. bless C. Div.
You live and you learn. But yeah, that's the thing that Tig Notaro yeah. had before that she almost died from before she got diagnosed with cancer.
And that happens. I feel like C. Div, don't a lot of elderly people get that in the hospital?
I don't know.
Or, you know, is
I just know that it's antibiotics.
DIV?
I think so.
Is it different than C. I feel like C. Diff? Is that a different?
Oh, I could be saying it wrong, too.
I don't. I mean, you had it. I'm, like, thinking specifically of, like, I feel like maybe one of my grandparents
yeah.
either got that or that was, like, a big risk of, like, you know, yeah. like, being in the hospital. And, like, I thought one of the popular hospital infections was C. diff, but I didn't know it was – but I was thinking of it as, like, something that spreads by people not
washing it. I could easily have gotten the name
it.
Of it yeah. a little wrong because I was out of my mind during that time.
No, it could be two different things. I yeah. just don't –
I'll check.
Anyway, my yeah. butt is great now and my jaw works just fine.
Yeah, that's – so the second surgery, they fixed it?
They did, yes. I think they were so happy I didn't sue them for giving me C. diff – or not yeah. giving it to me, but prescribing me more antibiotics when I didn't need them.
You should have sued them.
I know.
You could have so much
I could
money.
Have a boat right now.
I know. You could have – it's a – your diarrhea boat.
Diarrhea bone?
No, diarrhea boat.
The SS oh, diarrhea.
I thought you referred to the butt as the diarrhea bone. Yeah, I guess it's a C. diff. C-D-I-F-F.
I had no idea that was because of antibiotics. That's so...
It can be caused by antibiotics. Yeah. I think so there might be other causes as well, but...
Inflammation of the colon caused by the bacteria Clostridium difficile.
Yeah, so what happens when you take antibiotics is it just wipes... It nukes all your other bacteria.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's so
Guys,
scary.
Don't take antibiotics for too long.
No.
You can die from it.
Definitely. Yeah. And you can just develop – I mean, you can develop drug fever. Like, you can just get sick from taking too much medicine. Yeah. That's what – one of the things that went on with me when I had my esophageal thing was I took an antibiotic and then another round of antibiotics, then a round of antifungal.
Did you poop blood?
I didn't poop blood. Well, I have on many occasions in my life pooped blood, but not the way that you're describing pooping blood.
Like your butthole's bleeding?
Yeah. I think I'm a real clean guy. Yeah. I like to get in there. And sometimes you get in there, you get those fissures, I think they're called.
Yeah.
Wipe too much.
I wipe too much.
Ladies, I wipe too much.
I'd say my biggest weakness is I wipe too much.
Oh my god! Put that in your online dating video.
I sometimes have a slightly bloody butthole, but I think it's because I have. I don't think I wipe. I think I poop too much.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I wouldn't say I always have diarrhea, but I always have almost like my poops are quite soft.
Okay.
Like very loose and frequent.
Yeah. We've looked at
so I wipe I wipe a normal amount each time, yeah. but I wipe many times.
Right, right, right.
We've yeah. gone through the different kinds of poops and determined which poop we have.
Uh-huh.
And Madeline's, I can't remember what Madeline's was, but it was a softie.
That list.
Yeah,
there's
list.
A list. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
We pull up the list.
If we can find, yeah,
I would
find
love to find which one I am because I yeah. think mine are distinct.
Yeah.
Yes.
And folks at home.
Distinguished.
They're distinguished, yeah. Lauren's poops are sort of an elderly gentleman. Like they wear a monocle.
An elderly British gentleman
yeah. types of Ziggy pulls it up.
So, what's the page called so our listeners at home can look it up?
If you're on one end of the scale or the other, is that bad?
Yeah. I mean, you want to be somewhere in the middle, I think, with most things. What are we looking at?
Oh, it's called the Bristol Stool Chart.
Okay, hashtag Bristol Stool Chart. Let us know what kind of poop you're working with.
Send us a, just
Let's
tweet
just
it us.
Say hypothetically, what's wrong with you if you have number one?
What is number one? I'm having a hard time seeing.
Number one okay.
Little
is,
tiny rabbit poop.
Oh, I don't want to out anyone, but I think we determined that someone has those little tiny rabbit poops that we know.
Oh,
don't.
Well, okay, it's my husband.
Hey! You shouldn't because
but not anymore. Not anymore because we got a squatty potty.
Oh, so
I got one too.
Oh, yeah. So basically his posture was causing him to like.
Yes. Exactly.
Okay. Well, but he didn't like the conversation. That's why I said we shouldn't mention him.
Oh.
But it's okay if he's
cut
cured.
It. I'll ask him if
cured.
It's okay.
Yeah,
I'll ask
I'm okay
him
with
if
it.
It's okay.
Ben's law.
Also. Type 2 is called sausage-shaped butthole.
But it doesn't look like sausage. It looks more like that one looks more like a chocolate bar.
Yeah, that
it
one
doesn't
looks,
look like a sausage.
It doesn't look. Number 3 is a hella sausage.
Yeah, sausage-shaped but with cracks on surfaces.
Oh, I'm going to throw up.
Oh. Sausage-shaped but lumpy.
Bristol Stool Charts is a real pleasure. It's so funny.
I think because I have a dog, and I just have to pick up 3 poops a day, it doesn't. I'm not weird. I'm not like that grossed out by
it
anymore.
Not grossed
it's
out
it's
by
taken.
Poops.
It's taken yeah. it the grossness yeah. factor away from me.
Which
I think
one
the
are
words
you?
Are.
Well, my dogs, I'd say, are 3, but hypothetically, I'd say
number 6 uses the word mushy.
I think I'm a number 6.
You're mushy?
Guys, yeah. I'm on the other end of the spectrum.
You're more
I'm like a 2 or maybe a 1.
You're a separate hard lumps like nuts.
Maybe you should get a squatty potty.
I have one. I got one as a wrap gift.
From what show?
From party over here, I think.
Oh, okay.
I think Paul Scheer got us all. I think it was Paul Scheer got us everybody.
That's a wonderful wrap gift because it seems funny and whimsical, but it's insanely
very useful.
But
it
also
sort of
lets,
a party over here.
Yeah, and it lets everyone that comes to your home know right away that you are bad at shitting.
I try to remember that if someone comes over, I put ours in the closet. Not only because I think it makes our bathroom look a little bit like a handicapped bathroom. Like,
there's a plastic one, but then you know you can splurge for the wooden
Did
one.
Did you get a wooden one?
No, I got the plastic one. Maybe
I saw a mini. I saw a very little squatty potty that I liked more than my very large kind of standard plastic one.
Mm-hmm. They should make them higher and higher, like until the point where your legs are like
where you have to stand up and squat. It like becomes a secret exercise because you're just standing and squatting.
I just put my feet up on a desk while I should.
Arms back.
Yeah. You're fired. That's what I say to my butt.
Lauren, do you want to play a game?
Yes,
I would love to play a game.
Okay, nice. It's a game about different syndromes, like neurological and psychological syndromes.
Okay. I'm going to be good at this.
Yeah, I think so too. You guys will work as a team, and then I'm just the quiz master. The game is called What's Shaken, Baby? Syndrome.
Isn't that a great name?
Yeah, that's really good.
That's a great name.
I'm going to I will read you the name of a syndrome or a delusion or something of the sort, and then you guys will take a minute or two to confer about what you think this thing is.
Okay.
And if you're correct, you'll get a point. And if you're not correct, you'll also get a point. not a real good – I mean, you're not competing against anyone except for –
Great. I'm so glad I don't have to compete against you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that would be really
– Because
I would destroy you. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, we're going to start. We'll start with capgras delusion. What is capgras delusion?
Capgras delusion. Have you ever
It heard sounds of it? Psychological because yes, it has the word it's delusion. A delusion,
yeah. It would be sad if it was a physical illness.
I've never heard of it. Mm-mm. Capgras. I'm trying to think of the root of those words, yeah. But it's not really bringing anything up.
Oh, I wonder if it's like something that – I wonder if the origin is like people – I wonder if capgras is like a type of – I wonder if it's like an allergy-induced delusion.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay, a person
from
who's –
a grass allergy.
Maybe somebody who's constantly afraid that they're allergic to everything.
Or everybody's head looks like it's covered in grass. Everybody, no, hair looks like grass to you.
Okay, what are we, is that what we're going with? Mm-hmm. Everyone, a fear that everyone's hair looks like
yes.
grass?
Yeah.
No, that's not correct.
What?
But it's not the furthest from the correct answer.
Okay.
The capgras delusion is a mental condition in which the sufferer comes to believe that someone close to him or her, typically a spouse or family member, has been replaced by an identical imposter. The sufferer may continue to live peacefully, though distrustfully, with the imposter, or may become violent and attack the loved
one. Oh, my God.
One.
You know what, though? Ooh. I don't think this is a disorder, and I believe everyone that has ever thought that, that really their loved one has been an imposter.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah. You're probably right. Yeah. So the delusion is actually thinking that you could fool your loved one
yeah.
into believing
yeah.
that you're not an imposter.
Yeah.
Okay, uh-huh. Nice. All right.
Why do you know why it's called capgras?
Maybe it's somebody's last name, the person who founded it.
Probably. Yeah.
Because we can't always call by that. Capgras was he was just abducted by aliens and replaced by an alien in Mr. Capgras's body, and he gaslighted his wife into thinking she had a delusion.
Right. Mm-hmm. And people were able to discover that this was an imposter because of the grass all over his head.
Yes.
Okay. Next question, or next syndrome, Jerusalem syndrome.
Ooh.
Is that believing that you're Jewish, even though there's absolutely no way that you are?
Sort of.
Oh, okay. Is it something about like believing you're a religious icon, like thinking that you're a Jesus figure or a?
Oh yeah, like delusions of grandeur, like Charlie Manson. Like I've been listening to this great Charles Manson podcast, and it's all I can think about right now.
You are such a creep.
Oh, it's so good. Oh, I'm so into Charles Manson.
Madeline,
he was wild.
Madeline doesn't even listen to our podcast.
No, I don't. I've never listened to I'm scared I'll hate the way I sound.
Well,
so I can't listen to it. I got to listen to murder podcasts.
Based on my experience listening to it, you'll hate the way I sound. Okay.
Okay, so what do we want to go with? Like a delusion
let's,
of being a
Let's stick with that because that's
icon?
Because that's very close, and we'll call that a point.
All right.
Jerusalem
nice,
syndrome is a form of religious mania resulting from or leading to a visit to the city of Jerusalem, typically a sufferer of either a Christian or Jewish background experiences a sudden religious fervor upon visiting the city, leading them to the belief that they are on a significantly religious mission and quite possibly that they are a specific biblical figure. Mm. People experiencing Jerusalem syndrome often end up dressing in a white robe and delivering a sermon. This is the funny part of it. Delivering a sermon at a religiously significant site in the city. Since 1980, there have been an average of close to 100 cases per year reported.
No.
It's debatable whether or not sufferers had previous mental problems before visiting Jerusalem.
Can I take a guess as to what percentage of those are men?
If there's a number above 100.
That's unbelievable. They're like religious cosplayers.
They really are. Yeah.
Well, as you were first describing it, I was like, that just sounds like people that wanted to take a vacation.
Yeah.
But the white robe, what a specific part of the syndrome.
No, what
can you imagine being on vacation in Jerusalem and then all of a sudden, like them just running off one day, grabbing a quick white robe from a market, and just like going to the Wailing Wall or whatever and giving a speech.
It's kind of my dream. That would be very fun to go with someone who's having that experience.
Yeah. They should make a movie from it.
Yeah, they really should. Yeah. I mean, this feels definitely right. For, okay, number three, sexsomnia.
Ooh, okay. That would be a person that either has sex in their sleep or tries to have sex with people in their sleep?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Cool.
That's correct.
I knew that one.
This is the part, this is the part that's kind of messed up. No, it is messed up. Identified in 2003, sexsomnia has since been cited and used to acquit defendants accused of sexual assault in Britain and Canada.
Oh,
that's
makes
very
me
hard to.
So mad.
Yeah, it's upsetting.
Well, yeah, because. But, like, what if that really. Like, what if you were a person suffering from this disorder, like, yes. genuinely?
Yes.
And did that to somebody else? That would be so horrifying.
That's yeah. a horrible nightmare.
I feel like the hard part is that unless you were with someone, you would have to be with a stranger and mm-hmm. not have disclosed this to them for right. them to think that you had raped them, because your wife would know, your right. girlfriend would know, yeah. and then she wouldn't probably accuse you of sexsomniac assault.
Yeah, it sounds like a weird yeah. lawyer trick.
Yeah. yeah, I hate and, that that's out there yeah. in the vocabulary and for someone to be like, I was sleeping.
It feels doesn't that feel so American though? Like
yeah.
to hear that I'm that's surprised. Like that Canada's yeah. tossing that around. Yeah, yeah, it seemed very strange
yeah,
to me.
It's very strange.
Okay, let's go with this last one because it's an interesting one.
Hmm.
It's called The Jumping Frenchman of Maine.
Oh, I feel like I've heard this before. I had this book called Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat.
Oh yeah.
Have you ever read that?
No.
I haven't read it, but
oh, you'd love it,
really?
Ben. Yeah, it's all about psychological syndromes.
Okay,
like very, very weird.
Man.
Should do a book club episode about it. It's really
we should do
yeah.
that.
Jumping Frenchman. Can you say the name again?
The Jumping Frenchman of Maine.
Is it maybe a syndrome that makes you want to jump? That makes you. Okay, I would say maybe makes you want to jump off a bridge, or just you can't stop jumping.
Like a compulsion to jump.
Yeah, like you get like almost like a Tourette's kind of thing, but it's
possibly
all jumping.
I don't know why. I just feel weirdly in my heart that this has something to do with fishing.
Hmm.
Okay. I don't know why I think that.
Ooh. Okay. I buy it. You've had all your instincts have been correct so far.
Well, let's hear it. I don't
okay.
know what it is.
It's a fishing disease.
Yes, this really is the name of a bizarre disorder which occurs when a person becomes extremely startled by an unexpected noise or sight and begins exhibiting an unusual response such as involuntary flailing his arms, crying out, or repeating words. The exact cause of jumping Frenchman is unknown, but was first identified in 1878 in some of Maine's lumberjacks of French-Canadian descent and is thought to belong to other culturally specific disorders such as startle-matching syndromes. This odd reflex has also been identified in other parts of the world and has been linked to a neurological disorder,
Capgras syndrome.
Capgras syndrome, a form of Tourette's characterized by involuntary outbursts of obscene language.
So it is kind of Tourette-ic.
And it's
yeah.
also about fish.
Yeah, it's fish.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, because a lumberjack is someone who cuts down fish.
I love the idea of cultural specific disorders. It's
yeah.
so
yeah.
interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's one that was rampant in France for whatever reason.
Yeah,
but like the ones in Japan that mm-hmm. happen where it's like, I think there's one called like retired husband syndrome, which
really?
Is like when their husbands who've all like work 24/7
yeah.
all the time retire and are suddenly home all the time, and then their wives become so depressed.
That is amazing. Oh my god, man, we are the disorder. We're the problem in these
I
women.
Love that.
Yeah. So yeah, and Jerusalem's another one that's specific
yeah,
to an area.
Specific to an area.
You can go. It's the idea that you could go a very unique type of crazy by moving to a place is very fascinating.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah.
Or also just that if something happens to enough people, it is called a syndrome.
Yeah.
Like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's,
yeah. And then how many people does it have to happen to before you just start? Because we have this all the time. You
yeah.
know, like someone mentioned positional vertigo
oh, yeah.
on this podcast. And Madeline and I now have positional
yeah,
vertigo.
Sure
no one
I
could convince us otherwise.
Vertigo. Yeah.
But yeah.
I don't
like,
know
so,
what that is, but I believe you.
It's
yeah.
like vertigo that will only – that is like always present unless you like put your head up.
You both have that?
We probably don't, but we know somebody who had it. I can't
Ego.
Remember. Oh yeah,
Ego. Who
yeah.
like her podcast just came out this week.
Are you guys gonna think you have narcolepsy now?
Probably.
I think you have narcolepsy.
Well, he doesn't dream
though. Your sleep. Oh,
but that, but maybe, but I do. So except for, I just don't. I'm not aware of the dreams because I block them out. But yeah, no, I mean. When you come to find out that something is not the absurd definition that, you know, because what we hear is like that all of a sudden I would just be like passed out and that narcolepsy. It's like, no, I don't have that narcolepsy. But then to hear, what was that actually called? The one where you
cataplexy.
So that some of these things are more common than you would believe simply because no one took the time to explain to you the pragmatic version.
Well,
of it.
Do you know, I didn't get into, I don't know if we have time, but the test for it.
Oh, let's hear it.
Yeah, yeah, please.
So you have to sleep over in a lab. You have to sleep in a lab. Mm. You have all this shit hooked up to you.
That's crazy.
All over your chest because they're checking a million other things at the same time to rule out what it could potentially be. So you've got stuff on your nose, stuff on your face, all kinds of stuff.
That's nice.
And there's a little monitor somewhere else in the room that's measuring what stages of sleep you're in different times. So you go to sleep for the night. Then you wake up. You tell them how you slept, which is always you think that you slept terribly because you're covered in all this stuff. When in fact they look at the thing and they're like, oh, no, you actually were fully asleep for 10 hours and didn't wake up.
Whoa.
And then what you do is they're measuring how quickly you go into REM sleep during naps. So you stay there the second day and you take in 3 out of 5 naps that are 20 minutes long, if you go into REM sleep, then you're diagnosed with narcolepsy.
Wow.
And I did the first 3 naps, and they didn't even make me do the second 2.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I went into REM sleep within 20 minutes of all of them.
And were you also in somebody's home when you were doing these?
Well, there was a bed.
You were just in someone's personal bed.
No, but my sleep doctor was, like very morbidly obese, which I'm not used to seeing a doctor who is obese.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
I was like, huh, interesting.
Hmm. That is interesting.
But, I mean, you never know. It could be a medical condition that he has that I don't know about.
Sure. Yeah. No, I never realized until you mentioned it that I don't know that I've seen a doctor who's very obese either.
Mm-hmm. No, me neither.
Huh.
We haven't seen that many doctors, though. I mean, that's one of those things in life. You kind of have one for your whole childhood. And then for
not
most
me, man.
Of your,
oof.
No? Well, yeah, because you had to bounce from terrible Floridian doctor.
Yeah, they kept getting their practices shut down.
To go to a new
one. So funny.
So Lauren, do you have anything you want to plug before we wrap this baby up?
Oh, yeah, baby. Starting on the second season of Wrecked, which is on TBS. I'm very excited about that. It's not going to come out for a while. But when it does, you better watch it.
Tune in. Tune in next year.
Yeah. Great. Oh, and we've got the last 10 Bang Bangs, right?
Yes, the last 10 Bang Bangs have not aired yet.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome,
so
awesome.
When do those start? In October?
They start in October, and look out for me in the very last episode. I just heard I didn't get cut out of it.
Nice. All right. That's great. Well, thanks so much, Lauren. It was really awesome having you.
Thank you.
So
I hope
fun.
I didn't talk too much about my own poop.
No. We actually would like to have you back to talk more about it.
Yes, I could talk about it forever.
It is.
If there wasn't already like too many podcasts about poop, I would just want to do a podcast about poop. But it's like well-trodden ground.
Really?
I think so. I feel like there are like a few poop podcasts, right?
We dip our toe in the water.
All right, well, tell them who I am. I'll go on their podcast.
If you got a poop cast, we fully recommend Lauren McGuire.
Yeah, get Lauren McGuire on your poop cast.
All right. Thanks so much, Lauren.
Thanks, Lauren.
This has been Definitely Dying. Thank you guys so much for listening.
You can follow us on Twitter at Definitely Dying. And until next time, stay healthy.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.